Okay, thank you. Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We will be talking with Nikki Gladstone, director of RightsCon, a world-leading summit on human rights in the digital age, scheduled for next week, June 6 through 10. Before RightsCon, Nikki earned a bachelor's in journalism from Carleton University in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and a master's in global affairs from the University of Toronto. She has worked in early childhood development in Kampala, Uganda, in addition to researching emerging technologies at the Wilson Center and online civic engagement tools at the University of Toronto. I'm Spencer Graves. As part of RightsCon, I will be facilitating a workshop June 9th, 1:45 to 2:45 p.m. Central, on using Wikipedia to advance human rights and democracy, using constructive conflict to create quality articles. Nikki, what's RightsCon?
Yeah, that's a great starting question. So RightsCon is a summit that the organization Access Now has been running since 2011. This is our 11th edition. And it's a summit that brings together stakeholders from around the world and across sectors to talk about human rights and technology, but more so than just talking is to move forward a rights agenda for technology. And, you know, I think some of the things that make RightsCon really unique is that it is multi-stakeholder, and the goal is really to bring the human rights agenda to the private sector, to government, to people in power, as well as everything about RightsCon is community built. So our program of over 500 sessions is submitted through an annual call for proposals. And everything that we cover is organized across different sectors in workshops and community labs and panels. And so it's a really dynamic community owned program that reflects the current moment for human rights.
Wonderful. So what do you suggest our listeners do to learn more about RightsCon?
Yeah, I think the best bet is to go to our website, rightscon.org. It'll give you all of the information you need to know about the program, which is going to be live next week, starting on Monday, June 6th. And it'll allow you to log into our platform. So RightsCon will be hosted virtually next week from Monday, June 6th to Friday, June 10th. And logging into the platform gives you access to all of the program sessions that we'll be hosting. And there's a lot of them. So logging in early before RightsCon is set to start is the best way to sort of get a sense of what will be on the agenda.
And you do have to register for the program to see the program, all right?
Yeah, that's correct.
But registration is, it can be free.
Yeah, so we have free registration. And, you know, cost of registration should never be a barrier to folks registering. So I'd love to get people to register. And registration actually closes before the conference begins. So it closes this Friday, June 3rd. So there is a deadline to keep in mind there.
Okay. RightsCon this year, and actually this is the third year in a row that RightsCon has been online, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And in what time zone?
It's across all time zones. So we'll have something happening on our main stage studio virtually on the platform at every moment from June 6th kickoff at the opening ceremonies to us ending at the closing ceremonies on the Friday, June 10th.
Wowie zowie. Okay. And okay. So what do you say to someone who sees a wonderful, interesting session, but it's scheduled at a time they need to sleep or work?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think something that we've kept in mind, RightsCon used to be in person. So we used to travel around the world and we'd be in a certain location and people would meet us there. And when we transitioned online, I think for us, it was really important to make sure that we were also meeting people where they were in terms of engaging online. And so a lot of our programming, you can come back and revisit. So we want people to build the RightsCon experience that works for them. There's videos that are available for playback. You know, the only sessions that can't be revisited are the community labs and workshops because they're not recorded due to the sort of participatory nature of those formats. But there's so much content to revisit if, you know, you can't be there when something is airing live for the first time.
So I'm going to be facilitating a workshop on using Wikipedia, et cetera. And that's a workshop, so it will not be recorded.
Yeah, exactly. So people should hope to get there and join when it's happening live. But we always encourage session organizers to share report backs of what happened in their session on social media and across different channels. And we'll always amplify that too, because we know people are interested to know, you know, what's happened in the sessions that they maybe didn't make it to.
Okay. So if I hear you correctly, so there will be a place where I or Luisina Ferrante, my lead organizer, can post some links to some other stuff, right? Okay, good.
Yeah,
And the description, I can look at the description and make sure that has a link to a Wikiversity page I created a year and a half ago on this kind of topic, right? Okay, good. In what languages?
So our main language is English, but there are sessions, you know, for us, I think recognizing the need to promote multilingual diversity online, which I'm sure that's something that comes up a lot with Wikipedia and at Wikimedia. Our goal is to make sure that organizers can run the sessions in the language they're most comfortable in. And so we do have sessions happening in 8 different languages. And then there's, I think, 15 languages covered when you include subtitles that'll be provided in other languages. So there is multilingual content available, while a majority of the content is available in English.
So tell me about the keynoters and the sessions you are most excited about.
Yeah, it's so hard to pick when there's so many of them. We announced today that we will be joined by United States Secretary of State Antony J. Blinken, who will be in conversation with a RightsCon regular, Maria Ressa, who's the CEO and founder of Rappler, based out of the Philippines, who recently won the Nobel Peace Prize. And so, you know, I think that's going to be a really interesting conversation on the state of democracy, democratic approaches to digital development. And I know that they'll likely touch on Russia and the invasion in Ukraine. And so I think that'll be a really interesting, you know, key topic for people to tune in for on Tuesday, June 7th. But we also have, you know, a number of other sessions that I think are going to be really great. We host fireside chats, which are sort of like our keynotes, and there's a number of them that are happening around the world. We have one that's focused specifically on digital repression and resistance in East and Southeast Asia. And so that's featuring exiled activists from Thailand and Hong Kong. We have another one that's pretty topical about finding the meaning in the metaverse. I think metaverse is a word that a lot of people are hearing more and more these days. And so we'll have the head of trust and safety for Niantic joining us. And then we also have one that I'm really excited about, disability justice, and about sort of dismantling digital ableism in technology, which is a topic that I think hasn't been at the front and center as much as it should be. So there's quite a number of sessions that I'm really excited about. And if folks are registered, they can go in and filter for our fireside chats and our studio programming, which is what we sort of call our keynote programming. And there's just no shortage of exciting speakers to look at.
Okay, great. So the Blinken conversation with the Nobel Peace Prize winner is next Tuesday at 8:15 a.m. Central Time. So what do you think have been the biggest achievements so far from previous RightsCons?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, for us, I think outcomes are a main driver of what we do. Every time we host a session, we ask organizers to think about what they want the outcome to be. We don't want to just host spaces for people to talk, which, you know, is important. We want to make sure that there's some momentum afterwards. And so we've done a lot of work over the years to track outcomes and understand and report back in an outcomes report. So we've done an annual outcomes report over the last couple of years. One of the biggest ones is Access Now, the organization that hosts RightsCon, started in 2016, the Keep It On campaign, which is a campaign to work to prevent internet shutdowns around the world. And now it has over 260 member organizations, have engaged with a number of countries and the UN about the Keep It On campaign, establishing, you know, a collective understanding of what an internet shutdown is and work collectively to combat internet shutdowns around the world. And so I think that that's been, you know, a really key achievement of being able to take a meeting that happened at RightsCon and mobilize it into a coalition that works, you know, all the time around the clock to try to prevent internet shutdowns.
That's great. So what presenters from previous RightsCons will be presenting again this year that especially stick in your mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have so many folks who return to RightsCon every year and organize sessions every year. We'll be having Taiwan's digital minister, Audrey Tang, talk again this year. She spoke in 2020 about the future of democracy, and that was a really great, important session. But I think we're really lucky that, you know, almost every year, half of our session organizers are returning session organizers who are, you know, very familiar with RightsCon and are keen to leverage the platform year over year.
Yeah, like the workshop I'm doing is in joint with Luisina Ferrante, who's the education and human rights manager for Wikimedia Argentina. And she's got her own section in addition to the one that she's doing with me, apparently.
Yeah, so, she's been to RightsCon a few times. She's a regular, I would say.
Oh, well, she's so Patricia Diaz Rubio, the executive director of Wikimedia Chile, said that they've got images and Wikipedia work created by volunteers broke a conspiracy of silence in Chile about human rights abuses, abuse of power by Chilean security forces, and got a 78% approval rating for a plebiscite to rewrite the Chilean constitution to replace the one written under the Pinochet dictatorship. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So, last December, a 34-year-old former student activist got 56% of the vote to become president of Chile, defeating a right winger who promised to block the new constitution. Sorry. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I counted 29 different co-sponsors. Are they all contributing sessions?
Yeah. So the sponsors are companies, foundations, governments that help fund RightsCon. Since Access Now is a civil society organization, we need support to make sure that we can make RightsCon happen. And we actually have a pretty strict funding policy. And so some of those sponsors might be contributing to the program, whether they're speakers or session organizers, but being a sponsor in and of itself doesn't sort of guarantee ability to sort of influence the program or speak on the program. And so lots of folks, as you can see, if you look at that list, are folks who are very involved in the tech and human rights space. And so they're very interested and see the value in RightsCon as a platform. And a lot of them participate in RightsCon in various ways. But it is, you know, important, I think, to make that distinction in that they're funding and sponsoring RightsCon, but not necessarily guaranteed a place in the program.
Great. For those who joined us, I'm talking with Nikki Gladstone, the director of RightsCon, a world-leading summit on human rights in the digital age, scheduled for next week, June 6th through 10. Am I correct that this conference includes 7 different sessions from people associated with Wikipedia and other Wikimedia Foundation projects?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I would say Wikimedia and, you know, Wikipedia affiliated folks are always present at RightsCon in our in-person iterations. We've had folks run like Wikipedia-thons and have like really interactive workshops with people in so many different places. We hosted a Wikipedia-thon in Tunisia when we hosted RightsCon there in 2019. So They've been such an important pillar in RightsCon for years.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any? I'm a loaded question. As I said, I'm still facilitating one of those sessions. Do you have any other comments about the human rights work of the Wikimedia Foundation and their volunteers and staff?
You know, nothing specific. I think we're so grateful for the work they do. I will, you know, be transparent as well that they are one of the foundations that fund RightsCon, and I think really see the value in the platform. And we've benefited so much from working with them over the years. And so I think, you know, in a similar way that we work with lots of other civil society organizations, there's just a really strong partnership there.
So if someone wants to reduce abuse of power by security forces in the United States, what would you suggest they do to find RightsCon sessions that might interest them the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. And there's you know, a lot of sessions on the program. And I think for folks registering for the first time, it can be pretty overwhelming to try to figure out what are the sessions that they want to go to that would, you know, most interest them. And I would suggest looking through the program. We have a number of filters, I think privacy and surveillance, governance, looking at filters that are of interest and finding the sessions, you know, the workshops, the panels, the fireside chats that are on those topics. There's also a number of regional focused social hours. So there's a social hour focused on the North American region. And that's a really great space for people to meet other organizations that are working in this space. And I think that that's a really big value of RightsCon as well. You know, outside of the formal sessions, there are spaces to connect with other participants and connect with organizations. And it's a great way to learn not just more about organizations that are working on the issues you care about, but also how you might get involved and take next steps.
Great. If someone is concerned about human rights in Israel-Palestine, what would you suggest they do to find the RightsCon sessions that might interest them the most?
Yeah. You know, I think one of my favorite things about RightsCon is that because we are a community source platform, there's organizations that are on the ground in Palestine running these sessions, sort of sharing their stories. And the best way to look for those would be to search within the program for sessions on Palestine. You know, also there's lots of regionally focused sessions. So searching for the Middle East, North Africa, or MENA would be a great way of finding those sessions within the program.
MENA, North Africa. Exactly,
yeah.
Right. Okay. What is your relationship with human rights organizations like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch?
Yeah, so we work with them across Access Now as an organization, and they also attend RightsCon. So I think that Amnesty is running 3 sessions this year, and Human Rights Watch is involved in at least 4. But they're, you know, really interconnected into the RightsCon community and are active members. We actually partnered with Amnesty in 2018 when we brought RightsCon to Toronto on the Toronto Declaration, which was a big outcome about making sure that machine learning is equitable and non-discriminatory. And so we've worked really closely with them over the past.
Great. So you mentioned Access Now. RightsCon is a project of Access Now. What's Access Now?
Yeah, so we're an international NGO that's been around since about 2009. And we have a number of different arms. So RightsCon is one arm of our organization. And we have a number of other arms that do other work. So we have a policy and an advocacy arm. They do general campaigns, awareness raising, work with governments and sort of advocate around rights respecting legislation. We have a grants making arm. So they make grants to grassroots organizations. We have a 24/7 digital security helpline. And so they provide direct preventative and reactive digital security support to human rights defenders. We have a legal arm as well. And so there's a number of things that we do across the organization. We're really region centered. So we have regional offices around the world and they lead our work across policy and advocacy. So I think we have just over 100 staff in, I couldn't even tell you how many countries, but I think definitely over 15 by now.
That's great. So, So what did I ask you, what are your wildest hopes that, this RightsCon series of conferences might achieve?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think every year the idea is that we're pushing the needle on making sure that technology is rights respecting. And so I think for me personally, RightsCon is most impactful when we're making sure those who don't have seats at decision-making tables have seats and are accessing people of power, which is why we really champion the multi-stakeholder approach. We think having all of the right people in the room means making sure that it's the people who have positions of power, but also folks who, you know, traditionally are left out of these decision-making spaces. And so I think if RightsCon can be a platform for those folks to push their agendas, then that is success to me. And, you know, I think we're always hoping that there's a cause or an issue that the RightsCon community, which is really a community of communities, there's thousands of people who come who are all focused on different areas of work that intersect with human rights and technology. But, you know, I think if there was a time or space for all of us to come together on one topic and really drive a campaign, that would be really powerful to see, because I think that there's so much sort of collective power in the RightsCon community, and it would be cool to see that all channeled behind one topic or issue. Yeah.
Wonderful. What got you into this work, Nikki?
So I was studying my master's at the University of Toronto, and I was really interested. My background's in journalism, and I was really interested in topics like access to information. And just I was really lucky to be doing classes where the Citizen Lab, which is a really, you know, world-renowned research and investigation lab at the University of Toronto, is based, and became interested in how technology was impacting human rights. Had hosted my own little conference at the University of Toronto about human rights and technology, and happened to get in touch with someone who was at the time the director of RightsCon, and yeah, started working with Access Now 5 years ago. And so this is my fifth RightsCon.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, so you're native Canadian, I guess, and I remember, I think talking to you, I learned a second thing about a difference between Canadian English and U.S. English. The first one was the pronunciation of the last letter of the Latin alphabet, Z in north of the border, yeah, and Z south, and the other one is Toronto, not Toronto, right?
Toronto. Yeah, we don't pronounce the T in, but I think that you might find that's different across Canada. I think people who live in Toronto don't pronounce the T. But, you know, you always hear from folks that are, you know, from our New York office, they'll say Toronto, really like clearly, distinctly pronouncing the T, but you'll know the difference.
Is the end, last syllable O or right?
Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's other very subtle variations elsewhere, of course. So tell me more about what's the biggest thing that you think you would recommend I look for in reviewing the program?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, and if it's allowed, I'd like to put a question to you, because I'm curious about what you're hoping to get out of your session that you're hosting at RightsCon. Because I think what we typically do is say, no one RightsCon experience is going to be the same. That's not possible, because no one person can attend all of RightsCon. And so we often ask people who are new to RightsCon, like, what are you hoping to get out of RightsCon? Because it isn't a passive experience. So I'm curious a little bit, like, what are you hoping to get out of RightsCon, and what are you hoping is going to be the outcome of your session?
So I'm a Vietnam era veteran with a engineer with a PhD in statistics, and I've done research in all kinds of different areas. And bottom line of my research is that progress on every substantive issue I have considered is blocked because every countermeasure threatens someone with substantive control over the money for the media, right? And so that's kind of why I'm volunteering at KKFI Radio. And it's sort of why I spend time editing Wikipedia, all right? And so I'm keen to follow up and find all the Wikipedia and Wikimedia Foundation sessions and so forth. And you just taught me how to find the search tool and so forth, so I can and search by presenter or search by topic. And mm-hmm. I tried searching for Israel Palestine, and that did not work. But I can search for MENA, and yeah. We got several sessions that way. And as I said, there are problems, there are scandals, may I say, in the greater Kansas City metro area. I interviewed Laura McDonald, who's the head of Moore Squared in January, and I can't remember, Metro Organization for Racial and Economic Equality. And she said that she was, it's almost seemed like the Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas police departments competed with one another for which one could be the worst and most corrupt. So it's not a kind situation as far as I'm concerned here. And we need, I know the police have, law enforcement have a tough job, and they need and deserve support, but to the extent that they actually abide by the law, right? And while they're enforcing it, and to the extent that they encourage people to report, you know, if people aren't going to report if they likely to be killed as a result, or if one of their friends or likely to be killed. Anyway, we're about out of time, Nikki. Any last words for our audience?
Yeah, I think all I would say is there's something for everyone who's interested in these topics at RightsCon, and would love to have people register so they can go to rightscon.org if they're interested, select a free ticket and join us. And yeah, we're always on hand if people have questions about how to navigate the program or, you know, make sure that they have a great experience.
And you can register for free at RIGHTSCON.org, right? Correct. And you have to do it by Friday?
Yeah, exactly. June 3rd.
Okay. All right. So we've been talking with Nikki Gladstone, director of RightsCon, a world leading summit on human rights in the digital age, scheduled for next week, June 6th through 10. To learn more, go to rightscon.org. Or go to the description of this episode of Radioactive Magazine at kkfi.org, click News and Public Affairs, then Radioactive Magazine. Tune in next week when I will discuss the history of voter suppression with professors Russell Brooker and Michael Smith. Brooker is the author of a chapter on Black voting rights, 1865 to 2016, two Reconstructions and four Mississippi plans, in a brand new 2022 book on Much Sound and Fury for the New Jim Crow, edited by Smith. And one more shameless plug. Volunteers make all the decisions regarding which shows get aired when on KKFI's 24/7 broadcast schedule. If you have something you'd like covered on KKFI, send an email to news@kkfi.org or call KKFI during normal working hours. Feel free to mention this show, Radioactive Magazine. I'm Spencer Graves. Craig LeBeau is at the controls. Thank you for listening.